Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Western Conference Finals Game 2 last night. Rich, that was the type of game where if you're the Portland Trail Blazers, I've been calling for a sweep the whole time.
Yeah.
I didn't think last night's game would be as close as it was. In some ways, I think it might have been better for Portland if they had lost by about 15 last night than losing the way that they lost, giving up a 14-3 run down the stretch in a game that they were, quite honestly, they were in control the whole first half.
Oh, no doubt.
Golden State hit them with a flurry in the third quarter. And then credit Portland. They answered with a flurry back to take about a 6 or 8 point lead down the stretch. But Golden State did what they do. That looked like the team, Rich, that won a championship in 2015 and won 73 games in 2016.
Yeah, it's a shame that without Durant and Cousins, they're struggling as much as they are. it's really ridiculous. And I'm still not – will never be convinced they're better without those guys. But they are better equipped than any team probably in any sport right now to absorb that level of loss and not miss a beat. I mean, it certainly helps that I think they're – head and shoulders, even shorthanded, better than this Portland Trailblazer team.
Yeah.
But it's been pretty remarkable. And the word that came out officially from the team yesterday is that both players, Durant and Cousins, will not be evaluated for another week, which means they are both guaranteed to miss, even if it goes to a fifth game, the first five games of this series.
Yeah, it's weird. When you bring up Cousins, Rich, quite honestly, I forget that he's even on the Warriors.
Well, he's missed the last 11 games. Yeah, he's been a non-factor much longer.
And he was the fifth of these five guys. You know what I mean? Like, he was never going to be a guy. He was brought
when he went down, he was playing at a pretty high level.
He was, but he was brought in specifically to bang on Clint Capella for a series.
Right.
Like, he wasn't brought in. Now, he would help. I think where the absence of Durant specifically, and maybe Cousins, because certainly Cousins is a better basketball player than Andrew Bogut or any of these other guys. Looney's actually played really well. Looney's found himself a nice role as sort of the fifth piece to the Hamptons 5-1, I'll call them.
Yeah.
The Milwaukee series, ultimately, if they play Milwaukee in the finals, that's a series where Durant's absence is going to be felt. I'll say this about the Warriors, Rich, right now, this team, without Durant. Two things about them. They're more fun to watch.
There's no doubt about that.
And they're more likable. Like, I don't find myself... I know they've dominated the Rockets. I didn't hate the Warriors when they were beating the Rockets before Durant got there. I actually respected how they went about putting that team together because they did it pretty organically. They drafted Steph with the 7th pick. A couple years later, they draft Klay with the 11th pick. They got Draymond in the 2nd round. They go sign Iguodala. Like, they... That was not a Miami Heat situation. That was not a gang up on the world situation. They built that team organically, and so I respected that. I hated losing to them as a Rocket fan, but I could at least respect it. The absence of Kevin Durant, Rich, makes them more likable.
He's not a sympathetic figure.
No.
You know, when Kevin Durant goes out with a calf injury, the basketball world is going, oh, poor Kevin Durant, what a tough break. Kevin Durant abuses officials. Kevin Durant abuses media. Kevin Durant is just, I don't know.
And he took the express pass to winning a couple rings.
Well,
I think that offends people's sensibility.
I don't, but a lot of people do. I think a lot of people do. You're right. He's not one of the more well-liked players around the NBA.
Yeah, it's just there's a feeling that despite him being the best player on the floor in those playoff runs, he didn't really earn it because he ganged up with a team that won 73 games the year before.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, when Michael Jordan was the best player on the planet, people loved Michael Jordan.
Right.
Kevin Durant is probably the best player on the planet right now, overall, top to bottom, and he's not beloved.
And Michael Jordan actually was kind of an a-hole, too.
He kind of was, but, it's all about the image.
Michael
Jordan had a very, very good public image.
He did a great job of portraying it. He had a great marketing team around him. I don't know who's in Kevin Durant's ear, but, a lot of the way he conducts himself in interviews, the social media burner accounts, things like that, those are all in things that are indicative of somebody who's kind of thin-skinned.
Yeah.
I would say as a society we're kind of thin-skinned these days, to be honest with you. He may be more indicative of the times we're living in versus
Jordan
may be more indicative of the times we were living in back then, pre-internet.
Jordan was always about building his brand and doing what it took to polish his brand. Honestly, I don't think Durant cares. I mean, obviously, to a certain extent, he does, but nowhere near to the extent that a Michael Jordan did in the 80s and 90s.
I think he cares. I think he actually thinks that this image might be good for him in some way, like
maybe.
Being this hardo, you know what I mean? Being
maybe.
This being this this guy who's sort of a fake tough guy. I don't know. At the very least, he's at a minimum, he's not totally self-aware. If he's doing it, if he's not mindful of the fact that he's just not a very well-liked player and we feel like that matters, then he's not very self-aware.
I mean, I don't remember Jordan coming off as overly condescending. Durant is condescending to media, to opposition, to referees.
Maybe not during his career, Rich, but did you watch Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame acceptance speech?
I'm talking about when he was playing.
Okay, that's why I'm asking.
You're absolutely right. Michael Jordan was the get-off-my-lawn guy at the Hall of Fame.
His acceptance speech was like Michael Corleone at the end of Godfather.
Yeah, no, it was terrible.
He was squaring all the family business.
It was one of the worst looks he's ever had.
Yeah.
He hasn't had too many good looks since he hung it up.
He was flying around on his dragon, flaming everybody in King's Landing. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Game of Thrones reference.
Okay, but it was ridiculous.
It was. As I'm watching Steph in these last few games, Rich, and I want to get your thoughts on this. As I'm watching him, and he looks like the Steph that was out there winning two MVPs. You know, we talk about Durant and the benefit that he gets from being part of Golden State.
Yeah.
You know, he went on to win two rings that, in all likelihood, he wouldn't have won somewhere else.
Agreed.
And I'm not saying he couldn't have. But it's hard to win rings. He probably wouldn't have. Golden State probably would have still been the favorite to win rings each of those 2 years.
It's undeniable that Curry's been free-stroking more with Durant off the floor.
Right, and that's what makes me think of what I'm about to say.
And
which
free-stroking
is,
for me is not just about shooting the basketball. It's about the overall rhythm in his game.
Yeah, well, he's the point guard out there now. He's setting guys up. He's running off of screens. Other guys are setting him up. They're running all kinds of screens. They're playing team basketball right now. And they had ground to a halt with that sort of thing, especially in this postseason.
Yeah, that's true.
After they lost that game to the Clippers, they started making Durant the centerpiece of the offense. But what I was going to say, in watching Steph these last few games, I'm thinking to myself, Rich, this is the Steph that won two MVPs in a row. I think the sacrifice that Steph made to allow Durant to come on the team might be bigger than the benefit that Durant got from being on the Warriors. And I say that because I think the Warriors still would have won at least one title in those next 2 years, at least. Especially against LeBron's Cavaliers team last year.
Yeah.
That was a bad basketball team that they beat in the finals last year. And they would have been favored to win both of those championships. So let's pretend for a second that Steph has two rings instead of three, but the two rings are rings that he was the centerpiece for. And I think he might have won.
As opposed to Durant winning two finals MVPs.
Right, and kind of winning the two rings for everybody on that team. You know, where Steph would have been at the forefront. Steph taking a back seat, I think, has not gotten enough attention. And these last three games that the Warriors, four really, if you go back to game five when Durant got hurt, have really hammered home that point for me.
Right.
That Steph made a gigantic sacrifice. Steph might have, he may have won less title if Durant weren't there. I personally think they probably would have won both those titles against Cleveland. But I think he'd have at least one more MVP, maybe. He won one against Harden 4 years ago. Who's to say that if he didn't put up similar numbers and they win the title last year, that he wouldn't have beat James for the MVP last year?
Yeah.
I just think Steph has made a gigantic sacrifice. Rich, we were having debates on this show, who's the best player in basketball, LeBron or Steph, back in 2016.
It just sounds funny labeling something a sacrifice that was key in helping you win two rings in addition to the first one you got.
We're talking about the nuanced legacy of somebody.
But I agree with you. And he's in, at least he's self-aware enough to know that the position he's in allows him to do that. Because let's face it, Steph Curry is already a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Steph Curry is, regardless of anything that's happened the last few years with Durant on that team, not winning MVPs like he had before, is still, I think, acknowledged as the best shooter that ever lived.
Steph, for
sure. Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, they're all in the conversation.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
But Steph's the best shooter.
Larry Bird in there, too.
Yeah. Steph's the best shooter of the basketball we've ever seen.
You know what he is,
and
Rich?
And so Durant or not, that's always going
to
be true.
He's the first. I'm trying to think. Who'd you name? Ray Allen, Reggie Miller. I said Larry Bird. Steph is the first shooter that I can think of. And I say this at an age where I can say I've watched all these guys in their prime.
Yeah.
Steph is the first one where I feel like kids on the playground started acting like Steph the way they would act like Michael Jordan back when I was a kid in the 80s.
Yeah,
the quick release, the little crossovers to get shots off in tight space. These are things that you see a lot of kids doing these days. Allen and Miller and other guys were good shooters.
They
I don't know. Yeah, they were great players, though.
They were.
I mean, they were all-stars.
They were all-stars. But they didn't change how people viewed the sport.
That's kind of my point on Steph. And so he was on a track to being that. He's been relegated to a secondary topic on that team the last few years. And I know, like you said it, I know people are going to say, like, wow, big sacrifice. He was on two champions, and he's got two rings, and he signed a max deal, and boy, he's got a rough life. I'm not saying he's got a rough life, but we're talking about the difference between being considered, say, the sixth best player of all time and the 21st best player
and
of all time.
Not all players of his caliber historically would have been as gracious as he's been about this change in his role on that team.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe, I don't know. I'm not close to the team. Maybe Steph... Outwardly, I'm sure he was welcoming Durant, or it would have been a big news story. But maybe inside he felt like, man, I just got to grit my teeth and do this. Because if I don't do this, if I'm the one that says I didn't want Kevin Durant here, it makes me look bad.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me look like I'm not trying to make the team better.
I would agree with that. Underrated shooter, Eddie Johnson. Former Sonic and Rocket.
Yeah, yeah. Good sharpshooter.
Oh, man, he was really
one of the
good.
All-time famous shots in Rocket history.
This is true.
Yeah.
But just the kind of guy, that the catch-and-shoot guy on the perimeter, that was often just money.
Yeah, yeah. He was. If he was on the opposing team, you hated seeing him square up.
Right.
Basically, we got into a little discussion yesterday about what this Golden State team could potentially accomplish next year without Durant. I think the absence of Durant, Rich, is. I think it's a matchup specific thing. I think not having Durant could be problematic against Milwaukee. That said, I think they won 57 games this year with Durant on the team. I think if Durant's not on the team, I think they could easily win 60 games next year and be the number one seed in the West again.
I would agree with that.
And I think they might be, depending on how the finals end up looking between them and the Bucks, if that's who plays, that'll probably dictate who the favorite is going into next year. But I have some numbers here real quick, and tell me if this surprises you.
Go ahead.
Golden State is 32-4, including 29-1 in their last 30, when Steph plays and KD doesn't play. That's a 73-win pace.
Yeah, I guess I need to know who they beat. But that's
what's
okay.
Regular season basketball.
It's still a good number.
Well, and there's a big difference. They're 28-18 with the flip side of that, with KD playing and Steph not playing. That's a 49-win pace. And that's a pretty big sample size. You know, that's a 46-game sample size.
It absolutely is. Look, we know, despite how well they're playing right now, that they're a little bit thin. And with Brogdon back in Milwaukee, that's a team that's coming at you in waves right now. Depth could really be an issue in a Bucks-Golden State finale, NBA Finals, if either one of those guys is not available, much more so with Durant than Cousins, for sure.
Yeah, I guess if you're asking me, if I'm a Golden State fan, I guarantee you there are Golden State fans right now, Rich, saying, see you later, KD. This is the basketball I'd rather watch, and look, we're winning, and we're...
Careful what you wish for.
Well, here's the thing. I think they would be fine. I think they'd still win the West, at least, with that core of those of Draymond and Steph
but
and
like
Clay
you said,
and Iguodala.
Less equipped to beat Milwaukee.
Less equipped to beat Milwaukee, and the reason you want Durant on your team, other than the fact that he's a great player, is it's one more great player on your team if someone tears an ACL or ruptures an Achilles. You know, your margin for injury is minimal if that's the core you're going to run. You can run with that core and you can win a bunch of games. You better hope everybody stays healthy.
Yes.
Whereas if there's an injury somewhere along the way, the Durant-centric game, while not as easy to watch and maybe a little bit of an issue in the locker room with some, is still very effective. It's still good enough to win a championship and has been.
And let's not forget guys like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Sean Livingston in these playoffs have been dealing with a few bumps and bruises. They've played through it. They've played at a high level. But can you expect these guys, especially factoring in the duress of a pretty kind of short rotation and playing all these big minutes, how long can they hold up?
This is the ascension of Looney playoffs.
Boy, there's no doubt about that.
He's been great for his role. I know he's not going out and getting 25 and 12 every night, but as someone who just rooted for the team where it felt like Kevon Looney would not stay off the offensive glass, he's frustrating to watch.
Was it Lillard last night who inadvertently got his head smacked down on the floor by
It looked like he
Looney.
Got his chest smacked down.
It was unintentional,
Of course.
It was a scramble for the ball.
And Portland's done, by the way. That's a loss you don't come back from.
No, I agree.
That's a rough
one.
They
might get
night.
One in Portland, but it's not going past five.
I've been saying sweep the whole time, and I've got to – I mean, obviously, I've got to stick with that. That's my prediction. But it's weird, Rich. I would feel more nervous – about losing the sweep. Let me put it this way. I'd feel more nervous about game three as someone who predicted a Warriors sweep if the Warriors had just destroyed Portland again in game two than the way it went down. I feel like they got Golden State's attention a little bit last night. You know, the Golden State is like, okay, yeah. Well, we can't take our foot off the gas pedal at all against these guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.